Here are seven short Divrei Torah that you can use at your Seder table. Rav Yisrael Meir Druk points out that the word Haggadah is used and not the word Sipur, that we read a Haggadah, not Sipur. What's the difference? Both seem to tell a story. Lagi, to tell over, to Sipur, Lesaper, to tell. Rav Druk writes that Haggadah doesn't just mean to tell, it means actually to praise. And he brings a pasuk, Kisavo ki gati ayom la'shem elokecha, that I have in the term Yerushalmi translate, Higati yom v'shavchinan yom ahadein, that I'm praising Hashem. When we say in the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, Hashem sfosai tivtach, Hashem open my mouth, ufi yagiti lasecha, my mouth, what's yagiti lasecha, should praise, ufi yishabechti lasecha, should praise God. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot, Mitzvot Kufnun Zion, writes that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not simply to tell over the story, but it's to be moda to Hashem al kol ma shegmalanu mechasadav. The more that we give thanks to Hashem for the kindness they did for us, yeh yoser tov, the better it will be. So the idea of why it's called a Haggadah, not merely a Sipur, we're not simply telling a story, we're using the story to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Second Dvar Torah from Rav Rimon, yes, why do we have four cups of wine? What's the nature of drinking a lot of wine? He points out that in general, we're generally opposed to drinking wine because drinking four glasses seems to be excessive. There's concern of drunkenness. So why are we having four cups specifically at the Seder? So he wants to suggest that maybe drinking the wine can express our freedom, that freedom means that we can control this most material and dangerous substance. Rather than abusing the wine for lowly matters, we harness the potency of it through Kiddush and achieve spiritual elevation and holiness. So freedom signifies control. When we are free, we're using our freedom to control our passions and our body, and drinking the four wines highlights how we have the freedom now to be disciplined and to choose when to drink and how to drink. And so that is a symbol of freedom, and this is the holiday that celebrates our freedom. Rabbi Sachs explains that on the two dippings, there's dipping karpas in salt water and mor in charoses. And he says this: the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim is bookended by these two dippings. The first dipping, the karpas in the salt water, is connected to the sale of Yosef when his cloak was dipped in goat's blood. And this sale eventually caused Yaakov's family to descend to Egypt and become enslaved. The second dipping is connected to Korban Pesach, when we dipped the blood of the ram and smeared the blood on the doorpost. Rabbi Sachs explains that the first dipping, we dipped something sweet, the karpas, into something sour, the salt water. And the second dipping, we dip something sour, the maror, to something sweet, which is the charoses. He explains that sometimes something sweet, like the freedom of Yosef and his brothers, could be destroyed by something sour, the way their hatred for each other. And sometimes the reverse is true, that something sour, like slavery in Egypt, can turn to something sweet, like our sacrifice to God, where there is achdus. And that's very important in life. We should try to turn our sour situations that we can have the potential to turn into something sweet. And God forbid not let the reverse happen. We recite a lot of brachos during Seder, but there's no bracha, the mitzvah of Vigad Telebincha. There's no mitzvah of Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim, at least in the beginning. Why not? Four different answers. Shlomo Kluger says that Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim is a Hechsher mitzvah for accepting the Torah. It's a means to the end. The bracha of we bless Hashem for that they chose us, they gave us the Torah. So that's the bracha, which is the culmination of this process. And this process, again, Tzias Mitzrayim is only a heksher for the real mitzvah of Asher Bachar Banu that we recite each and every day. The Maral writes that we only recite brachos on chovas ha'evarim, not chovas ha'levavos. We only recite brachos on obligations of the limbs, not obligations that are internal. And the mitzvah of Tzias Mitzrayim is fundamentally a chovas ha'levavos. It's an obligation of our hearts. That the mitzvah is only fulfilled when the message is internalized, when we feel as if we left Egypt. The Sfasemis explains that we don't recite brachos on mitzvos sichlios, the mitzvos that we would have done even if we weren't commanded. And Sipri Sis Mitzrayim is a function of Hakara Satov, which is so basic, therefore there is no bracha. The Chasam Sofer writes that almost all brachas are recited before their fulfillment, over Lasiyah, some with the exception of Birchas Ager. He makes the bracha afterwards because he cannot recite the bracha beforehand. We begin this Seder from the perspective that we were still slaves. At that point, we can't recite a bracha. Once we experience freedom at the end of Magid, so then we can recite a bracha, and that's the purpose of Asher Galalu, the bracha at the end of the Studa Magid. Rav Dov Weinberger, in his Haggadah Shemen HaTov, explains the Halach Ma'anya. The Gemara gives two different explanations for Lechem Oni. Lechem She'oni Malav Harbei, that we say a lot on the, about this bread. We tell about our redemption. And there's another opinion, though, that it's ma'oni, from it's spelled ayin nun yud, ma'oni darko b'prusav ka b'prusav, that you have to, poor person eats this bread in by pieces, in a piece. They has to save up his food, so he eats it piece by piece. So, too, we're also, when we fulfill the mitzvah matzah, it's also b'prusav with a piece. And, in fact, you can look at the two explanations here as like a Heftza Gavra distinction. That is Lechem Oni reflect the Heftza, the food itself is poor man's bread, or is it Gavra, that the Lechem requires us to speak about it? You can also look at it as a distinction between Galus and Geula. Lechem Oni, so it's a poor man's bread, so it's remember well, we were slaves in Egypt, but it's also the lechem for which we celebrate the Geula, where Hashem took us out of Egypt. And the point of the Halach Ma'anya introduces this concept. And this is Lechem Oni that has both elements of Galus and Geula. And we take the piece of matzah and we speak about it. And really both come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that both the Galus and Geula are the hands of God, that God made the Galus in order to bring about the Geula for us. Rav Asher Weiss explains that the Medrash in the in Psikta Sutrata, well, the Medrash says that when it says Vigat Labincha, the Pasuk says Bavur Zeh, because of this, the time where matzah and maror are placed in front of us. Why must matzah and maror be present at the time of the story? The Ramban writes that bavur zeh, that we tell the story because of the miracles that Hashem performed. Bavur zeh, because of the zeh, the miracles. That's so. The Seder night is an expression of hakaras hatov, gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, that's not how the Midrash understands it. It's not how Rashi understands it, like the Midrash, that bavur zeh. What does it mean? Why we point to the matzah and the maror? Because bavur sha'kaye mitzvosa. We say Hashem took us out. Bavur zeh, because of these mitzvos, or so that I observe these mitzvos, like Pesach, matzah, and maror. That the goal of Seder night is not simply an expression of gratitude, but it is an opportunity to express our commitment to the mission that was given to us at Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Rav Asher Weiss writes that you have all these children sitting around the table. And the Chacham gets it. The Chacham understands. Because he specifically asks, what are the mitzvot that we have to perform? Ma edis v'chukim v'mishpatim. Because he understands that the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is so that we will observe his mitzvot. In Harei Kedem, Rav Soloveitchik, there's a piece by from Rav Soloveitchik's Torah, where we say Vahisham Lagoy Gadol, or Vahisham Lagoy Malamashi Yisomatsum Shan. The gears of the text of the Gra is Vahisham Lagoy Gadol, that we were a Goy Gadol. And Rav Soloveitchik explains that the idea of Mitsuyanim, that we were distinct, that we're recognized as a distinct nation, and that is the true definition of godless. The Gadol Hu Omed Brishus Atsovein Somech Shulchan Acher. The godless is when you're standing with in your own Rishus, in your own possession, in your own control, and you're not relying on other people. That the behavior of godless means you're not necessarily swayed by what the world thinks. This is so very important, and you're different from that which is around you. And he said, like we see by the Rav Chaim brisker and bederech limudo, very different in his way of learning. That's the gadlus. He had his own way of mahalach and learning. And he said also the Chavetz Chaim behan hagaso, and the Chavetz Chaim and the way he behaved, so different than everyone else, that they, each one forged the path for himself of gadlus. And therefore, Klal Yisrael in Egypt, they were recognized by their gadlus. They didn't change their name, their dress, and their language. And they protected their uniqueness. And they didn't follow the ways of the Egyptians. And that's what the Baal HaGadah writes, that we're goy gadol, godless, because we were distinct there.